It's Marketplace Tech for Tuesday the 7th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, British Parliament continues debating a piece of legislation that would change the way UK citizens are monitored by their government. The Investigatory Powers Bill, as it is officially called, might be a kind of bellwether for other legislation, both here and in Europe. Gordon Carrera covers security for our partners, the BBC. Gordon, thanks for joining us.
Hello.
How would this Investigatory Powers Bill impact the average user in the UK?
The bill would change the powers the state has to collect data about individual citizens. Now, one big change in the bill is that everyone's internet connection records, as they're called, which means the websites they browse, would be kept for a year.
Is a so-called backdoor part of this legislation?
There isn't formally a backdoor into encryption and into encrypted communications, but there is a restated desire that communications providers should provide information unencrypted, in clear, when there's a demand from the state. Of course, you get into tricky territory, which is, what if they've built a system, as Apple says it has in the case of its iPhones, in which they say they can't? Now, in the past, the UK hasn't said, well, you have to redesign your systems. Some of the tech companies, including Apple, though, have feared that this legislation might be used to make them do that.
How does the legislation being considered there in the UK compare to similar legislation being considered here in the US or stuff happening in other parts of Europe?
Well, in some ways, the UK legislation is much more sweeping than anything we've seen elsewhere. And that's one of the reasons, actually, the American tech companies and other countries are watching it so closely, because a lot of people believe that this will set the precedent which others may then follow.
Gordon Carrera covers security for our partner, the BBC. Thanks for talking with me, Gordon.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now to a slightly different kind of surveillance. For a few years now, radio telescopes from around the world have been connected to share information on the observable universe. And researchers at MIT have now built a new algorithm that could conceivably take in all the radio telescope data from around the globe and use it to help us look at part of the universe that isn't so easy to observe. Black holes. Think building a composite image from a lot of different camera snapshots, for instance. Katie Bauman is one of the researchers at MIT.
So my part in the work is trying to take this data, this really noisy, sparse data, and creating an image from it that will hopefully be able to see the first image of a black hole.
That black hole might be Sagittarius A, which scientists believe to be at the center of the Milky Way galaxy, but this algorithm might have business applications on our home world, too. When you need to get an MRI, an algorithm designed to pull together information for a larger picture in the universe might do the same for a patient looking for answers. The story I'm about to tell you is a good example of how tech companies are replacing or replicating older services, but not in the way you might think. Uber makes it easier for a user to get from point A to point B without a lot of fuss. Sure, turns out that could be useful for people dealing illegal drugs as well. Vice Features editor Brian Anderson has been writing about this. Brian, thanks for chatting. Tell me about this Texas Uber driver who had this experience.
Yeah, so he is an Uber driver. Picked up a passenger in a small town near the city limits of San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
But then the passenger asked him if he could make a handful of stops at gas stations along the way to his destination, which was a sketchy motel.
Right.
So the driver agreed, not thinking it would end up what he thinks it is in hindsight, which was a series of kind of small-scale drug transactions.
So handshake deals.
And he recognized it for what it was.
In New York City, and I imagine everywhere, drug dealers have used taxi services to get around for decades, right? Is Uber actually any different other than just maybe a different kind of service?
So it's just a different means of product distribution. And more than most any other means of delivering or trafficking drugs, it sort of relieves the passenger of a lot of the risks associated with that sort of illegal activities.
That was going to be my next question. You know, are there legal ramifications for the driver in any given situation?
So there could be. If you're an unwitting driver, you don't know that your passenger is carrying around a couple pounds of heroin, which has happened. You're going to be let off. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen in the future. I mean, there's been so few reported cases so far that it's hard to say that there won't be legal ramifications.
The most intriguing part of all of this to me has to be the data part. Do you think that's the biggest difference, really, between the old taxi way of doing things and the new kind of ride-hailing way of doing things from a drug dealer's perspective?
I would think so. When you use these platforms, all that data is being collated. But then again, it's not crazy to think that you're just going to be another number and a massive trove of data, and it's going to be more difficult for authorities to try and find it than it would be to just not even bother.
Or do old-fashioned police work or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Brian Anderson, he's features editor for Motherboard. Brian, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
And you maybe heard Mark Zuckerberg's social media accounts like Twitter and Pinterest were apparently hacked over the weekend, now fixed. The source was a LinkedIn data breach of old accounts and passwords. The message from us will sound familiar. Update your passwords regularly. Refrain from using the same logins for all accounts. Oh, and you might want to change your LinkedIn password. That's a good place to start. We will probably be saying things like this forever. It won't make it any less true for you, me, and Mark Zuckerberg. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.